Lord, we thank you for your word. May it dwell in us. May it open us up to your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, they say a week is a long time in politics. I think it's even longer in COVID lockdown. We live at a time when many people feel very vulnerable and fearful about the future. Whether it's the kind of chaos we've seen in Kabul or the curfews in Cabramatta, people are wondering what on earth is going on in this world. Why would God let this happen? Why aren't you listening to us, God? When Christians feel this way, it's tempting to think that the answer may just be a matter of standing up for God. That somehow all of this would just go away if we were a little more faithful in prayer, evangelism, or whatever. Such a sentiment might well lie behind the sign that was seen at a lockdown protest recently. The blood of Jesus is my vaccine. I don't think faith is a matter of standing up for God, so much as it is how God stands up for us. Our readings today challenge us to think a little more deeply about the kind of faith journey that we all share. In our first reading, we heard Solomon's prayer as he consecrated the temple in Jerusalem. When new buildings are opened today, those cutting the ribbon will often tell a story, a glory story. Such a story usually begins by recalling all the difficulties encountered along the way. It shifts up a gear by congratulating all those who saw the work to completion. And it usually ends by telling all of those present to bask in the glory of this wonderful achievement. If Solomon had taken that track, he might have started by saying, "This job was so tough that not even Israel's greatest king could accomplish it." This would then allow him to take all the congratulations and wrap up by inviting God to take up residence within the temple, reassuring everyone that they would have nothing to worry about because God would be nicely tucked up in the temple. Only Solomon's prayer was different. It was about character and covenant and conditions that underpinned the relationship the people enjoyed with God. Solomon's prayer focused on character, not his own, but the Lord's. Yahweh is the one. Solomon doesn't highlight attributes that might ordinarily come to mind, God's power and strength. Rather, he focuses upon God's love and faithfulness. Next, Solomon recalls God's covenant with Israel. Again, he recalls how it was God who kept his promises to David and has now made all of these things come true. Finally, Solomon recalls the condition by which the relationship works, not their obedience and devotion, but God's compassion. When God is invited to take up residence in the building, Solomon acknowledges that the divine presence, all of God's goodness and mercy, compassion and perseverance, just can't be contained in this building made of wood and stone. Solomon doesn't pray that God's presence would make the nation powerful, but rather that God would forgive us. That God would forgive everyone. This pattern of prayer, character, covenant, and condition is something that we often get backwards. without realizing it. Our spiritual journey with God often starts with us putting conditions upon God. We hear what God can do, and we want a little bit of that in our lives also. We may not build temples of wood and stone, but we ask God to come into our lives. And so long as everything is okay, we'll quite happily believe in God. By setting out our conditions, we try and contain God. So instead of living with a covenant, we turn our relationship into God into a contract. We believe in God so long as God is willing to deliver our requests. And of course, our capacity to follow God's instructions, to use all the right principles and abide by all the biblical formulas, becomes the condition by which we draw conclusions about God's character. We think that if we repent enough and are faithful enough, then everything will be okay. And for a long time, it usually is. But we are not that strong. We get tired, and all too easily we are distracted. We mess things up and unexpected things happen. We pray, but when a difficult and an unwelcome outcome arrives, we find ourselves making conclusions about God's character. We tell ourselves, God just doesn't seem to be into me. In fact, God doesn't seem to exist at all. Because if God was listening, if God was really listening, if God was loving, well, God just wouldn't let this happen to me. Jackie Rose calls this pattern, beginning with conditions and contracts and character, escalator faith. She observes that with escalator faith, we step on here, we work these habits, believing that if only we work hard enough, it will deliver the outcome we desire, that God will hear us and come through for us. Only the escalator faith tends to result in hurt and disillusionment. What we may not realize is that our disappointment is not with God so much as it is with our understanding of faith. That is what has let us down. The good thing, the first step in getting off an escalator vision of faith is knowing that you're on one in the first place. Many in Jesus' day had an escalator faith too. Thousands came out to see and hear Jesus in the wilderness. The crowds were sick and hungry and just so full of needs. And of course, Jesus was wonderful. He healed many and he fed everyone. And of course, they all wanted to make him king. Many of Jesus' disciples fell into this pattern too. They followed him everywhere. And if they did what he wanted them to do, then when Jesus came into his kingdom, surely they would be basking in his glory. Conditions, contract, character. Only Jesus would not be contained or confined by their expectations, their desires, or even their demands. Jesus would be the one who would set the conditions. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said, abide in me and I in them. I am the bread that came down from heaven, he added. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This is an invitation that is open and available to everyone. But Jesus does not promise them victory or success. What Jesus offered was a life where if you received God's presence, then God's presence would enter into you. Many found this confounding, difficult, and scandalous. So many simply turned and walked away. It wasn't that God had stopped listening to people, so much as people had stopped listening to God. When God does not conform to our expectations, we are scandalized and easily knocked off course. We wonder, how can belief in Jesus help anyone? How can a little bit of bread and a thimble full of wine satisfy anybody? And so as our questions mount and as the old formulas fail, we withdraw into ourselves. We struggle with these perplex situations, and oftentimes we walk away. Faith is not an escalator for us to step on and go up, but rather it's more like an elevator that comes down from heaven to earth. This is why Jesus challenges Peter and those still standing there, "Do you want to go also?" Peter's reply is born of great perplexity. But where he was once tossed about in a boat, in a storm, fearing for his life, Peter is now calm and collected. "Lord, to whom can we go?" he replies. "We've looked everywhere else. We've tried everything else." Something inside of Peter had shifted in this moment. No longer were his expectations or desires or demands the measure of all things. He was not the one setting the conditions, setting the contract, drawing the conclusions. So when others closed their minds, he opened up his heart. When others walked away, he resolved to remain present. When others went back to their old lives, he was willing to walk into a new future with this Jesus. "You have the words of eternal life," Peter replied. "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God," he declared. Peter may have thought that he had been looking for God, but God had been looking for him all along. All his yearning for something different, for life as it should be, didn't depend upon Peter getting things right, but upon God coming down in the person of Jesus. The life and love of God that entered the world would soon ascend upon a cruel Roman cross. It would not be Peter standing up for God that would change the world, but rather what Jesus would do for Peter and the whole world upon the cross that would make all the difference. The one who would deny Jesus 3 times would soon find himself forgiven, lavishly and generously. We all have our own spiritual journeys to take. Some of us start as children, others of us came to it as adults. Some came once and stayed, while others have come and gone many times. It's only natural to see our relationship with God as an escalator. We stand up, we follow the rules, and God delivers. Only life is messy and things don't work out as we plan. I can't tell you the number of times that I've given up simply because I've had questions that haven't been answered and circumstances that have left me scandalized. Only faith is not about me setting the conditions, working out the contract, and making conclusions about God. But rather, faith is more like the elevator that has come down for us. Faith is always a matter of God's character, that God will accomplish what God promises, albeit in ways that I can't imagine, expect, or demand. Faith is a matter of covenant, a covenant which is established, secured, and cemented by the body and blood of Christ, poured out for many. God's forgiveness, the opportunity for restoration and renewal, is offered to anyone and everyone without condition. We simply need to receive it. And when we do, the work of transfusion begins to unfold as we find ourselves not only invited into God's presence, but we find that God's presence finds its home deep within us. So whether we find ourselves perplexed by difficult scenes in Kabul, Cabramatta, or even Canberra, God's answer is not to send a lightning bolt, but a person. A person who brings as much healing and peace as they can carry. A person who is clothed in all of God's faith and faithfulness, God's righteousness and peace, filled with God's salvation, carrying God's word. And somehow, in the midst of all this mess and hurt, faith and hope and love will grow in that situation. And somehow that will be enough. Amen.